Dad, what's it like to be up there? I looked up into the stars. They glimmered as brightly, brilliantly, as they had before. Some, the silver of a spoon, and others, the caramel apple of the sky. It's like weaving in and out amongst waves, amongst lives and people you know are there but won't reveal themselves. There are stories ingrained in the fine sands and mists of time that space will never forget, I said. My son looked at me with a wonderment I knew long ago when I was his age, his small blue eyes reflecting the light of the distant stars in dreamy, loving sparkles. Tell you what, how about we sneak out after dinner and take a closer look at them? We'll have to be extra sneaky to make sure your mom doesn't catch us, though. Why doesn't she like it, Daddy? Why doesn't she like space? Well, there's so much there and so little at the same time. I think it haunts her. It gets under her skin and shakes her bones. Boys, dinner! My wife went back into the kitchen, and just as she was shutting the door, the cat jumped out and trotted over to us, purring incessantly. Its green eyes also fleetingly reflected the October glow and the stars above. Over a lovely meal of sweet potatoes, corn, and some meatloaf, my son and I tried very hard not to give my wife any idea that we were going to space that night. She wouldn't approve. Honey, would you dish me up some more sweet potato, please? She said. I took her dish and ladled on a few orange morsels. Jed, do you want some more too? No, Dad. He smiled wide, and I knew he was ready to go. A deep smile grew on me, excited to take my son to see the stars. All right, buddy, let's go wash up then. At the sink, there was a lot of clinking and clattering, and not so much talk, but utter excitement from both of us. After, we snuck out the kitchen door and into the backyard, weaving in and out of the tall grass toward the garage. Little Jed looked back at me and wouldn't look away. What's wrong, buddy? Dad, I'm scared. What if something happens and we can't get back home? Don't worry, bud. I was one of the top rocket men back in my day before that last fleet was lost in space. I know what I'm doing. Hey, you stick with me and we'll be fine. This seemed to work for the time being. We got into the garage and in the dim light of the overhead light, Jed said, "What happened to the last crew?" Jesus, kid. I love him with all my heart, but boy, does he want answers. So hesitantly, I answered. Now, they went past what we called the October cloud, which is a cluster of space dust. This space dust shows up just like the sky here does right now. It's beautiful. So they went past that, and then we lost communication. We assumed they crash-landed, so we made an effort to send out a fleet to search for them. But unfortunately, no planets were found in that area, and we had to come back home empty-handed. Whoa, that's cool. What if the planet was invisible, Dad? And it came around only when it wanted to. I chuckled softly. His bright little face shot up with excitement and light. I don't know about you, bud, I said simply. I kneeled down to meet his face and said, we better get our trip in before your mom suspects our shenanigans. I opened up our heavy barn-style door and shoved a few odd cans and tools out of the way to refuel the rocket. Well, what do you think, bud? It's kind of dusty. Yeah, you got that right. I blew on the rocket and a huge cloud of dust hovered and soon fell on Jed. All right, I need to check a few things and then we'll be off. Go see if your mom's watching us. Jed walked out of the shed like a secret agent. Pistol held in hand, ready to shoot if necessary. Mom was in the window, happily dancing to a track in the living room. Safe. She's busy, Dad. No, step on up, sir. Ride the golden streaming rocket into the sky, Marvel's fuse. See the October cloud even. Jed jumped up excitedly into my arms, a broad smile on his face. I kissed him on the forehead and beamed at him, his face so much like mine, younger and brighter. Alright, ready? I slammed the rocket door shut and Jed jumped into one of the cushioned seats in front. I sat down next to him, put the keys in the ignition, and started the engine. Alright, hold tight, buddy. Whoa, what's that, Dad? Well, that's the October cloud I was telling you about. Our team estimates that it's around 3.6 billion years old. The cloud fanned out in front of us. Orange dust rising in the illuminated expanse in front, on the sides, and beyond us. It's so bright! Jed's eyes lit up so brightly in the cloud dust light. I could see myself in him more than any other time before. I hugged my son tightly as he pointed, "Dad, what's that?" He pointed to a large object floating in and out of the creamy orange dust in front of us. "It's been told that if you are a true adventurer, you will know because you can see past explorers in the cloud. So what explorer do you see, Jed?" "Well, he looks kind of big. He's got a beard, bright blue eyes, and he has a patch on his arm that says 600. That, my boy, is the last rocket man to go through this cloud. Nobody knows what happened to him. He just vanished. Who knows, maybe you'll fly through here someday." "I hope so, Dad. I hope so." "Where have you two been?" my wife asked. "Oh, just for a little ride." I winked at Jed. He winked back with an exaggerated wink. He motioned for me to come closer, and then he whispered in my ear, "Thanks, Dad." I held him up over my head and took him into the house. Above, the October cloud glimmered faintly as my wife stood under it. She had to squint to see what she thought she was seeing, and out of it she could faintly see an old man with a cute smile and thick black glasses looking back at her. "Is it really him?" she thought. She went into the house, sat on the sofa, and picked up her copy of the Martian Chronicles, and continued reading into the October night.